Hey, sports fans, it's world champion handicapper Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and
right.
I ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right. The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and boy, oh boy, what a game one of the World Series. We're going to get Mike's thoughts on the upset that happened with the Nationals beating the Astros in Houston. And the NBA season started. What an opening matchup, a thriller, as the two LA teams, LeBron versus Kawhi, went at it. And it was fun to watch. Word has leaked out on who the Cubs' new manager will be. I don't think Mike is going to like it. We'll get his thoughts on that. We've got plenty of NFL talk, including some comments from Matt Nagy's press conference earlier today. And it's Wednesday, so that means Mike has three free picks for you. And hopefully you listened to him last week, because you would have been 2-1. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, Aldo? Everything's going great, my friend. I couldn't be happier. I got to tell you, last week, 2-1, we had UCLA. We had the over. We also had the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a loser, believe me, in more ways than one. 2-1. We're 11-10 overall on the Bears Barroom Network. I told everybody don't worry about it when we were 5-7. I said, you know what? This is a different year. We're picking on Wednesday, which now there's going to be more traffic on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that we didn't have before because of the NBA, because of the NHL, because of other sports that will be going on besides an occasional college football game or whatever. I was picking games for Saturday in college football on a Wednesday show because of lack of things that were going on. And you know what? We were doing fine. I treaded water. Now we're on our way. 1-866-504-2201. I have three games to give out on this wonderful show that we call the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage on the Bear Barroom Network. But we'll also have three picks tonight. I got them up at VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Go to the Twitter feed at North to North, N-O-R-T-H, number 2 N-O-R-T-H, or just go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com. We're starting to get it done. We have over 640. We started with 485. They've taken good care of us at Vegas Scores and Odds. We've tried to do the same. We're the best bet that you can have when it comes to not only winning, but promoting. Now, there's another guy right now, Dennis Macklin, who who's really doing a good job. He's 11-5 last 7 days. He's in first place. Last 30 days, I'm number one at 47-33. Last 30 days, that's all sports. Last 30 days, MLB, I'm easily number one. I got 1,176 units. The next guy, Denny, has minus 26. I'm 19-6 for the playoffs, folks. So I'm going to tell everybody right now, I have the World Series pick up too. Don't delay. Eldo, back to you, my friend.
Well, let's start there with the World Series because game one was yesterday. And my goodness, I love to watch the World Series on TV. That's when the networks really pull it all out. They got the best video graphics. It's the tension. And then this wonderful moment happened when 35-year-old first baseman Ryan Zimmerman came up to bat, and then he blasted one out of the park. And you're going to listen to Davey Martinez's reaction after this highlight.
Two out and nobody on. Here's Ryan Zimmerman. Here's the wind of the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well. Deep center field. Way back goes Springer to the warning track. Looking up, and it is gone. Goodbye. Bang. Zoom goes the Z-Man to the deepest part of Minute Maid Park. Just to the left of the batter's eye in center field. Ryan Zimmerman with his second home run of the postseason cuts the Astros' lead in half.
I'll be honest with you. My eyes got a little watery for him. I mean, he waited a long time, you know, to be in this position. And for him to hit that first home run and put us on the board was awesome.
Mike, Zimmerman has been with the Nationals since he was drafted in the first round in 2005, the fourth overall player. And he finally gets that moment in the sunshine. What were your thoughts when you saw or heard that?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy for the guy. He's been there for the whole time. He was their first signature type player.
Right.
You know, since that time, they've picked up the pitchers, the Scherzers, the Strasburgs. They had Bryce Harper. They got Rendon. They've had guys come and go. So absolutely happy for him. But what's even better is that, you know, we got a series here. The Houston mattress man that put up $3.5 million on Houston, maybe a little nervous today.
Yes.
Maybe a little nervous. I had Houston yesterday, one of my two losses. I was 2-2. At Vegas Scores and Odds, I had two hockey game winners. I lost the NBA New Orleans. They were winning the whole game, and then they go into overtime, and that covered the 6.5. And then I lost this game. I thought I should have won it, but you know what? That's gambling. That's what I enjoy. It was a very good game. I liked the way that they battled back. And, you know, with all this talk about the Cub manager today, it's amazing. The Cub manager was probably in the dugout with Joe Maddon 2 years ago.
Of course,
nobody's going to bring that up today. But the fact is that, you know what, I didn't really want Davey Martinez, but it's funny. He leaves. They could have told him stick around another year if it doesn't work out for Joe. But apparently they didn't think that he had enough, experience or what have you. So they went with the guy who's never managed before in his life, David Ross.
It's amazing. We're going to talk about David Ross more in just a minute.
But no, I'm happy. But by the way, Scherzer's a battler.
Yes.
Scherzer keeps you in the game.
Oh, my goodness.
Scherzer's a great pitcher. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it is. Gerrit Cole, the law of averages, was against him. I mean, he had been winning every game. He was Gibson-like. So sooner or later, this was going to happen.
Yep. Now, the Astros started the World Series as favorites, like I think maybe the largest favorites in recent history at minus 215. But now the online sportsbook Bovada has switched things over, and now the Nationals are a favorite at minus 120. You surprised by that shift?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised because, you know what? I mean, they win one game. All right, you know how many times I've seen that happen, and then the person that wins one game ends up, you know, losing 4-1 or 4-2. So I'm a little bit surprised by the shift, number one, but they do have one win, so you have to adjust the odds that way. I will also say this. I know a guy that ended up losing $75,000 on one World Series. He kept taking, it was the Oakland World Series where they lost 4-0 with Tony La Russa. And what he kept doing is Oakland lost the first game. He doubled the next game, doubled the next game, doubled the next game. He lost all four. He thought McGuire and Canseco and those guys would win at least one. So you know what? Maybe they know something we don't know. I think Houston still wins this thing.
Ooh, interesting. I can't wait.
I think Houston still wins. So we got Verlander tonight. And even if Verlander loses, that, then, of course, it's a tougher road to hoe. Don't get me wrong. But still, you still got some games left. I think tonight, if they say it's a must-win game, that's fine. Yeah, probably. Coming back two games and none would be tough. But you still got Cole and you got Verlander the next time around, too. So I don't think Houston's panicking, but Washington's got to feel good.
Yeah, they do. They do have to feel really good. And tonight's game.
How about my rhythm today?
Your rhythm, it's
rhythm
like.
Rhythm is good, isn't it?
You got like a Frank Sinatra thing going.
I got rhythm. I got do-do. How about the announcer for the Nationals? How about that guy? Can you play that again?
Sure, I can.
I want to hear him. This guy. Listen to this guy. He rehearses in his room before hotel room before he comes out or wherever he lives. Who knows? He may live in a box. I have no idea. Listen to my guy.
Yeah, listen to this guy. He's great.
Two out and nobody on. Here's Ryan Zimmerman. Here's the wind of the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well. Deep center field. Way back goes Springer to the warning track. Looking up, and it is gone. Goodbye.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Hi, Shirley. How you doing? I'm going to have a steak, medium rare. Put some eggs, scramble them up really good. I want some bacon on the side and sausage. And look at that breakfast. Yeah. My God. Nobody talks like that. Nobody. Be yourself.
I hear you.
I'd like to get, if I could, two heads of lettuce. Give me a loaf of bread, Charlie. And give me those lottery tickets. What do you think? Give me a break.
Game two is tonight. It'll be on Fox. I believe it'll be Joe Buck on the call for Fox Sports.
Hey, you know what? I like Joe Buck. I mean, he's a member of the Lucky Sperm
Club. Yes, he is.
If his name was Joe Schmo, he'd be driving a UPS truck giving me a package. But that's beside the point. Here's what I'm going to tell you. They hardly said a word about how badly Brantley played that ball off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And I know from many years talking to Jimmy Pearsall, if you don't think you got that ball, then step away 10 feet and let that ball hit the wall. That hurt that team yesterday. Nobody even talks about it. Joe Buck just is so robotic. I mean, you know, bottom line. I'm not telling you folks nothing I didn't tell him to his face. He didn't like it too much, but he understands. One thing I'll say about Joe Buck, he gets that people say what I say because his dad was great, the great Joe Buck. So I get it. I give him credit for that.
Jerry 64 in the chat room says that the announcer for the Nationals sounds like Bob Uecker in the movie Major League.
Unbelievable.
That's true.
I mean, seriously. I mean, when you stop and think about it, give me two boxes of Jujubes, give me some Milk Duds, and throw in some Reese's Pieces.
Good stuff.
Give me a break.
All right, let's turn our attention to the Cubs' new manager, David Ross, David Kaplan from ESPN.
Grandpa Rossi?
David Kaplan was the first to report it, although it wasn't really a big...
job, Dave. Yeah. Good job to anybody who thinks they were first to report it, including Dave. Because you know what's funny? I look at Twitter all day, and I think he was. But there's like 17 people acting like they broke me.
Yeah, really?
That's what happens all the time. In an ABC exclusive, you turn the channel. In an NBC exclusive, you turn the channel. In a CBS exclusive. You know what I mean? But I think David was the first one that I saw on Twitter for sure.
Yeah, he's got great sources over with the Cubs. And everybody in the chat room is talking about it. There's some opinions for it. Like Swanky32 says, the Cubs now look like contenders with Ross. They are getting much-needed life and excitement in a clubhouse that needs it. What do you think about what Swanky is saying and your thoughts?
Sort of like a club dub thing.
That club dub doesn't win games, right?
Well, what I'm going to tell you is that they had all that.
Yeah.
They had all that.
Right. They lost it.
And if I'm not mistaken, the great Eldo Gondias, the guy himself, who said they got to get somebody tough.
Yeah.
This ain't somebody tough. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? This is my Aunt May that used to come over and babysit for us. We ran all over her. She couldn't control us. Because you know what? Aunt May was making money. Well, she never asked for money. But Aunt May loved us. She got to visit with us. But at the end of the day, we loved when she babysat Because when she told us to go to bed, we didn't. When she told us to, you know, basically quiet down, we didn't, even though we loved her. We were little. This is what I think. This is the deal here. David Ross has got this job because of the players on this team, because they adopted him as the mascot, because they prepped him up on the shoulders. Not to say he didn't contribute, but he's got this job. If Rizzo and those guys don't basically treat him like their daddy, then guess what? He doesn't have a job today as a manager of the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, but here's my concern with this is – is this guy too buddy-buddy with these guys?
And yes. Yeah. That's what I said. That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly. So I don't know. I just think that this team is in dire need, like you said and I said earlier, of somebody who's just going to kick some butt. And I don't like this. I don't like this move. I don't like it.
To see the kick the butt thing. I don't care about that. What I like is a Bob Melvin type, the Oakland manager.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A guy like that that's got like, games as a you know as a third base coach in his back pocket in the minors, a minor league coach. This is a team now that needs an experienced manager to go backwards, okay? And really, this is sort of like the lieutenant, the brand new lieutenant for a company of men in Vietnam, and it's his first time on the ground. And he's telling master sergeants who've done three campaigns there what to do. That's what we're talking about here. I saw it with my own eyes in the Army. I mean, the officers get out of West Point. They get assigned to Fort Polk, Fort Riley, all these lieutenants. We had a lieutenant that was our company commander, right? Well, guess what? He never spent a day in Vietnam. He was telling Staff Sergeant Fleming, who spent two tours in Vietnam, how we were going to be when we went through our Vietnam POW drills and everything else. It was odd. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Badge 40 in the chat room says he totally agrees with your take on this. And Steven Zim Zimmerman says that the Sox now have the best shortstop and the best manager in Chicago. Oh, and by the way, the best first baseman.
By the way, I want it to work out.
Yes.
If Ross takes over the team and they win, good. Yeah. If that's all they needed, you know, was him to come in there, loosen the team up. I mean, I thought Joe Madden, he was a juggler. I mean, brought in giraffes. I mean, I thought that was loose. But if this is the guy, they will get it. Brad Ausmus was good for a short time. Mike Matheny got him there as a catcher first time. But they're no longer around. So if this is going to happen, I think Ross has got to do it. I think he's got to come through with a bang, bang year this year. I do. And by the way, they had never any intention of hiring anybody else. Otherwise, I want my next big job interview at the Starbucks on Prospect and Park Ridge if it takes 15 minutes. Come on. How much vetting was done for other managers? My God.
Yeah.
They had their mind made up just like anybody else.
Yeah,
let
they
me tell
did.
You something. We have a new radio. We have, Greg Karmazin, okay?
Right.
They already know what they want to do with the next group, you know, when they take over, where they're starting to take over now, they already know their plans and everything else. And after they got rid of Joe Madden, and you saw Ross there that final weekend and behind the batting cage, that should have tipped everybody off. I didn't think they'd do it. I told B, diehard Cub fan, sat in the bleachers in 1969. I go, guess who's the new manager of the Cubs? She goes, who? I go, Grandpa Ross. She goes, he's not ready. He lost her cool. He's not ready. She goes, what? He's not ready. I go, he's ready. They think he's ready. And, you know, we wanted Girardi. That's who we wanted. Philadelphia, I guess, is going to get him, if I'm not mistaken. That's the last report I got. So, I mean, it didn't work out the way I wanted, but I wish him the best.
Well, it seems like the number two candidate for the job, who a lot of people thought was going to get hired, was Joe Espada, the bench coach for the Houston Astros. The Cubs brought him in for a second interview, and it was about 24 hours ago that the Sun-Times was reporting that in that second interview, they had him do a mock press conference and that things were getting serious, and it was touch and go there. It looked like maybe the Cubs were going to go with Espada, but
They want a guy that can tell what to do.
That's
they
exactly.
They want a guy that basically they could be that are they are friends with.
Yeah.
This is Theo Epstein, who's had some hit and misses lately. This is a miss for Theo Epstein. And you know what? I respect the hell out of the guy for what he's done at Boston and Chicago. I will never downplay what Theo Epstein or even Joe Maddon did.
Absolutely.
Or anybody else. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's been cold throwing the dice lately. This was a bad throw. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I just think they need somebody that's going to be a little bit more stern. But guess what? Maybe these guys got bruised egos. Maybe they wouldn't like that type of change. Maybe they thought the best way for them to win is to bring in the jovial character or a caricature, a cartoon character of Joe Maddon. That's basically what this guy is. He's Joe Maddon without experience.
Interesting. Heart 4803 was saying the same thing that you are saying in the chat room. And he goes on to say that David Ross will probably be a one and out done manager, that he reminds him just of like Robin Ventura, the former manager of the White Sox, and that he is an office boy. He will do whatever Theo and upper management want him to do, that he will not be his own guy. And that's the problem that I have, too, with this. I just would have liked to have seen some new blood. Now, I'm also a proponent of, you know, working some way up through the organization. In the last 2 or 3 years, Ross was a consultant.
Yeah, but he left.
Exactly. Well, he was still under contract, according to one report that I...
Yeah, but he left.
But he went to ESPN, but he was still collecting money as a consultant with the Cubs. Is what I read, but I don't know.
You know what? I get that. Look, we know there are buddies with the guy.
Oh, yeah.
We get it. They're enamored with them. That's good. All right? Basically, he did good on the baseball games. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a decent job. I thought he was their best baseball analyst, or one of their best, along with Eduardo Perez, who I love.
Yes.
I thought those two are their best baseball analysts that they have, and I just... thought, you know what, it's safer to be there, but it's a hell of a challenge. Would I love the Manchester Chicago Cubs? In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Who wouldn't? Cub fans, and you ask any Cub fan. I just don't want to argue with Cub fans about this, because you know what? At the end of the day, I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. They, Cub fans, don't know what is going to happen. I will say this. He's smarter than Ventura, but basically, you're right. It does remind you of that type of situation. But at least Ross was involved in the game and not mowing a little league field on a cadet lawnmower. And that was what happened with Ventura. And Ross, we'll see how accountable he is.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Rogers is another guy yesterday that brought up Ross, too. So
yes,
ESPN 1000 was all over this.
Yes. I heard Jesse on ESPN 1000, and
I heard
him a day ago, and he said, you know, they're going to bring in Ross. So interesting
stuff. I do have to have a talk with Jesse. I saw his little Twitter feed. It's basically Ross. A bridge between the past and the future.
And well, that's
what
a
am
thing.
I reading? What am I reading? National Geographic over here? You know what that's called? I watched Laurel and Hardy this morning, the piano. They had a piano in the middle of a drawbridge. They fell through it, okay? I love Laurel and Hardy.
Classic stuff. Classic stuff.
They're on the 40.tcm. Yeah. And they have a bio. John C. Reilly plays Oliver Hardy. Fantastic. Check it out, folks, if you get a chance to look at it.
Yeah, all you young parents out there, make sure you sit down with the kids and watch Laurel and Hardy movies.
Laurel and Hardy, the kids will laugh, I guarantee it.
Absolutely. One other point that I want to bring up from the chat room, again, it's our man, Harp4803.
I love Harp.
Yeah, he's the best. He says, Theo used Joe Espada for info about the Astros, used him as a spy. What do you think about that? Because that happens in some interviews. You kind of collect information about your present or past employer, right?
Well, I would have probably hired him as a coach and given him more money than Houston was 2 years ago, so he would have known about it already. You know what I mean? And you know what? But I think they brought him in seriously as a serious contender. You can't ignore what Houston's done. You can't ignore their coaches. It's no different than football coaches. If a football like McVay, I mean, he's starting to get, now we're finding out some of those guys aren't as good, or maybe that McVay thing is starting to draw old, but he was the hottest thing going, so I understand his body coming in. But it was basically, it looked like a smokescreen. I mean, if you're going to take Ross over Espada from the Houston organization, Ross was a member of our pennant-winning team, so you know what? Both guys have arguments. They really do.
They really, really do. All right, let's turn our attention to the NBA. I saw a lot of that game last night. The Los Angeles Lakers lose to the LA Clippers, 112-102. It was the matchup a lot of people have been waiting for, LeBron James versus Kawhi Leonard. And Leonard had himself quite the game. He scored 30 points. He had, what was it, 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Just an all-around excellent game. He was very emotional afterwards when he talked with a reporter at the courtside. And I'm going to play that right now. Trust me, I am.
It was great. You know, a lot of emotions game one. But I'm just happy we came out and got a victory. We played a great practice the last week. Everybody competing, pushing everybody's limits, and we had some carryover tonight.
You don't always show your emotion, but what were some of those emotions that you were feeling leading up to this game?
I mean, like I said before, once I'm playing the game, I'm locked in. So I'm thinking about the next play. But before the game last night, it's a lot of emotions knowing that my family's going to be here tonight. And I'm just back here playing in the Staples in my hometown. It's just amazing.
It was a very emotional game. He's from the L.A. area. A lot of people thought he was going to team up with LeBron, but he chose instead to bring his buddy Paul George over to the Clippers. And now George did not play yesterday, and yet the Clippers looked really good. What are your expectations for the Clippers this year? Do you think they are the serious front runner for the NBA title?
What a bad couple of weeks LeBron James has had.
yes.
I mean, really. I mean, I got a call. Somebody asking for rope and 2 hammers. I really, you know what? It thrills me to see this because he poo-pooed it. It wasn't a big game. You know, it's just another opener. I heard his comments. Wait a minute, pal. Kawhi Leonard. Oh, there's no rivalry. This is a man that's unaware now. He's finally off the reservation. The Hong Kong stuff finally pushed him off the ledge, okay? Now they're putting up Chinese flags as you're in the third quarter, people walking around with T-shirts, posters, getting thrown off the air, and he helped create this. And I'm going to tell you something. Kawhi Leonard in L.A. spanked LeBron James last night on national television.
He sure did.
Period. End of story. James, in effect, you know what? Here's the key. In the fourth quarter back in the day, you would wait for LeBron James, just like the Jordans of the world, the Birds of the world. That's gone. They had 2 points last night in the fourth quarter, or 4 points, something like that. Right. And he had 2 of them. That is gone. Kawhi Leonard sunk his hopes because unlike Jordan would play with what he has. LeBron said, I got to get Kawhi Leonard to help me. I'm not good enough to do this with just Anthony Davis. That's why they thought they were going to get this scoop. But here's another thing. Kawhi Leonard goes, wait a minute. I won't be the main guy, and I'm better than you are. And that's exactly what we saw last night. A guy who's gotten better so good offensively and already knew how to play lockdown defense. Like he did last night.
That is a great point, Mike. I remember watching the game last night and thinking to myself that LeBron was playing not nearly at that Michael Jordan level that you expect player of his caliber. He was much more of a poor man's kind of Scottie Pippen, if anything. I always relate things back to the 90s Chicago Bulls because that is one of my favorite teams of all time.
And it's a good guy to compare him to, but I'm going to tell you this. Look, LeBron was better than Scotty, but LeBron James was a -3 last night on the court. Mm-hmm. He's gambled on defense for the past 3-4 years. Folks, I know this game inside and out.
Yes, you do.
And I know the guys. Look at Anthony Davis, marvelous player, but he's not Shaq. He's a finesse player. Look at his shots from 10 feet away, from 8 feet away, missing shots from 12 feet away. He's not going to go inside like Charles Barkley and elbow people out of the way. He's a finesse player who gets injured. It's not going to turn good for the Lakers. I'm not saying the Lakers are going to have a bad year. They should make the playoffs. But you know what? LeBron James has lost a step. He's lost a little bit of the competitive edge. He's involved in activism now and other things that are taken away from his preparation for games. Period. End of story.
What did you think of AD's debut with the Lakers? Davis had 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Mm-hmm. Statistically, it looked good, but he couldn't help his partner LeBron win the
what
game.
What did New Orleans do with him when he was on the team?
I don't know. You tell me.
Nothing.
Oh, I get you. Yes.
They didn't make the playoffs.
Right,
Right? He didn't show up. And you know what he averaged? 25 and 10.
Yeah.
I mean, he's okay. He's not Jabbar. He's not Shaq. He's not even, seriously. Anybody that thought Anthony Davis was going to come with LeBron and dominate the game of NBA basketball apparently missed the New Orleans years. There were not good players on his team. But believe me when I tell you this, and it's a shame about Zion Williamson, but Anthony Davis is gone. They were all jacked up for Zion Williamson. The one thing is, now they got another nightmare for him because he's not going to play for at least 8 weeks, and a torn meniscus is serious business, folks.
Yeah.
A serious business. So, you know what? We don't know what's going
to
happen.
There you go. I do want to acknowledge the play of Danny Green of the Lakers. The 32-year-old had an excellent night shooting. He put up 28 points. He seemed to be hitting key shots after key shots. You look at the stat sheet.
Can I just say something to you as a friend?
Sure.
As a buddy, as a guy that – we've been through the wars together.
We
battle all the media companies. All the media companies, we do what we got to do.
Right.
We got a great sponsor in Vegas Scores and Odds. Jeff Schwartz is a great friend of ours. We know good people. You've got a wonderful wife. I got a wonderful wife. Can I just say something to you as a friend?
Sure.
When you're praising Danny Green, they lost. That's all I'm going to tell you. If you got LeBron James and Anthony, and you're going, boy, that Danny Green. You know what? Believe me, you lost.
Oh, well, okay. The Chicago Bulls, I'm going to lose again here when I bring up that. I think the Chicago Bulls, who begin their season tonight, Wednesday night, are going to finish above 500,
and I'm getting a lot of support.
I'm getting a lot of support in the chat room. Badgley says.
Of course you are. They're all a bunch of Chicago team ball watchers. I was one for 40 years. I finally got smart in my late 60s. I mean, my God, we all want every team to win, but we don't go, we're going to go 50, we're going to win 60 games. We got Kobe White. I'd rather have Kobe Cheese.
That is hilarious. Tell me why you don't like Jim Boylan. He is a throwback to those coaches from yesteryear that I would imagine you like.
Jim Boylan, if you put some face makeup on him, he's a rodeo clown. Okay? Get the suspenders, get the big barrel around him, paint his face, put a little hat on him, and have the Bulls. Hey, believe me, he shouldn't be coaching the Bulls. He should be the rodeo clown to keep track of those Bulls. Are you kidding me? Popovich. But you know what? Look at Toronto's coach. He didn't look like one. What's his name? Check it? I forget what the guy's name is. Church? Who's the Toronto?
I don't know.
I'm on my game
today.
I'm
laughing too much.
It's like I'm at Zanies. Zanies begs for laughter like this.
Toronto Raptors coach? Let me look it up.
The guy who had the plaid jacket, Church.
Nick Nurse.
Right. By the way, they came back and beat New Orleans in overtime. I had New Orleans plus 6.5. I'm winning that whole damn game. And then all of a sudden overtime happens, and they lose by 8 points. Are you kidding me? To Frank Nurse. Hey, maybe it's the next Frank Nurse.
Oh boy! Now I think the Bulls are opening up at favorites at North Carolina against the Hornets. You're not seeing the Bulls as a real threat this season, huh?
No, I'm not seeing North Carolina's one either. Let's be honest. I mean, you know what? Michael Jordan. And listen, I know Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player I ever saw, ever. Greatest competitor, him and Peyton, I ever saw, ever. Okay, but I'm a better talent evaluator than him, okay? Because you were great at basketball doesn't mean a damn thing, apparently, because judging talent is not his strong point unless you haven't seen his teams lately, right?
I have not. That is true.
I mean, Carolina's horrible. The Charlotte Hornets, and then they lose Kimball Walker. So, I mean, now what? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, here, I got something for you. I know this is really going to probably support your argument, what you just said about Jordan. This is Jordan on the Today Show talking about Steph Curry.
Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was 6 years ago. Lots happened in the league in 6 years. Would you keep the same four?
In a heartbeat. When I'm going in the trenches, I played against and with all these guys. I'm going with who I know. Every single night, that responsibility to go out there and represent greatness every single night.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches.
I hope not. He's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
Now, I know you got Steph Curry already in the Hall of Fame. He's one of your top 10 all-time players.
He's going in the Hall of Fame in the first ballot. Michael's out of his God bless his mind. He out of his damn mind? What's wrong with him? I mean, my God, you know what? Let's be honest about this. Scottie Pippen didn't get off the bench when he was called on in a game. And you're trying to tell me about Steph Curry? Steph Curry shows up to play. And Steph Curry, unlike Scottie Pippen, is the main guy. I don't care what anybody said. And you know what? Pippen was never a number one guy. That's why Michael's nuts. He can't judge talent. Look at his teams. He didn't say nothing bad about Curry. And if he wants to pick that team, fine. Because then you know what I'll do? I'll get Bird. I'll get McHale. I'll get Curry. I'll get Harden. Okay? And I'll get Jabbar or Chamberlain. And Michael's got a battle on his hands, wouldn't you say?
I would agree with you.
That's a bunch of crap. And I hope Michael hears this. Because, Michael, you were the greatest who ever played. You're one of the poorest talent evaluators who's ever been a GM. He is. I mean, I bet the games. Look at this. You know how bad you got to be an underdog to the Bulls at home? At home.
That's true.
They're -3.5, the Bulls, against the Hornets in Charlotte.
That's because the Bulls have so much talent, Mike.
My God. I mean, and you know what? I think the Bulls are going to beat them. I think the Bulls hopefully will beat them. Look.
I hope so, too.
Good luck to you, but you're a puppet. You're Grandpa Rossi. Rodeo Clown Boylan. I mean, Paxson and Gar. I mean, really. The father, the son, and the holy Christ. What's going on around here?
That is wild. That is wild. Okay.
I think this is one of my better shows in the last 3 weeks.
Well, I'm telling you, I don't think I've laughed this much in a long time.
You haven't. You've been down lately because, you know what? You've been trying to keep up with what's going on with the cup managerial thing. You had all sorts of big plans.
Oh, my gosh.
Think of the coaches we have.
The
Boylan,
Bears have me
Ross.
Down, Mike. The Bears have me down, and we're going to talk about them after we do this. Every week on Wednesday's show, Mike has three freebies for you. And if you took his advice last week, you would have been a winner. He was 2 out of 3, 2 wins, 1 loss. And let's see what he's got for us today. But he's also got some business to talk about. Take it away, Mike.
Absolutely, buddy. We got Vegas scores and odds. We're on fire. Go to VEGASSCORES ANDODDS.com. I can't believe I spelled that right. Anyway,
that's amazing.
That's without a teleprompter, ladies and gentlemen. I know, talented and conceited.
And good looking.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, make me your rodeo clown for Vegas scores and odds. Believe me, folks, when I tell you this, you will not regret it. It is the greatest. I love Vegas. I love Vegas scores and odds. Thanking them and thanking all the people around the country that are following Vegas scores and odds now. You got the call-in number, all you have to do is go to the front page. We got some talented guys. Check it out. And I got to tell you something. Follow at VSAO. Now, last week I was 11-10. Here's why I know that after this show in about 30, 35 minutes, well, no, we got to do our spots today for Premier.
Yeah.
And Westwood One. Probably about 5:30, I don't want to quote. We'll have the picks up because some of these games, I think, might start early tonight. I'm picking a couple games tonight.
Okay.
So, well, if you're not listening now, you're in trouble. No, seriously. No, seriously, you'll be able to see all these games. I got three games tonight, and the VSAO free show picks. Here goes. In the first, and this is going to be hockey. Now, right now, people would say, Mike, do you know hockey? Not really. I can't name three guys on any team. Yet I'm 50 and 36.
That's amazing.
I'm number one in hockey.
That's amazing.
The system doesn't. I don't know where they play. I don't know what the name of the stadiums is. I don't know who the announcers are. I don't know who most of the main players are. Okay? And I just continue to win. Well, tonight we got a good one, ladies and gentlemen. This is a 6:35 game, so we should hopefully be up by 4:35.
Oh, absolutely. We will.
Yeah. The Ottawa Senators are minus 127. They're playing the Detroit Red Wings. Now, boy, what'd I do? A little Elmer Fudd? They're playing the Detroit Red Wings. Wesley Wabbit. Anyway, Senators minus 127 playing the Red Wings. Now, the Red Wings are 3-6, and the Senators are 1-6. Yet the Senators are minus 127. Lock it in. Ooh. The Ottawa Senators are number one, ladies and gentlemen, for tonight. Okay, number two, NBA. Got burned last night by New Orleans. Went 2-2 overall, which is fine. But I should have gone 3-1. That's just the way life is. I won some big games Sunday. I had the Titans Sunday. I mean, they should have never won that game. So it evens out when it comes right down to it. I got an over and under for tonight, too. So folks will be able to not only bet on the hockey game tonight, but they'll also be able to bet on a game that, you know, when you think of West Coast basketball, you think of a high-scoring game. The Nuggets playing the Trailblazers, 905, 217. Now, you'd say to yourself, man, that's a high total. I remember when the totals were 192.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
When they were 198. They no longer play defense. They're a bunch of lazy bums in the regular season to save themselves wear and tear. They let guys square up and shoot threes. Maybe that's what Jordan meant. The defense for sure was much better back in the day. For instance, the Kings Suns is 232. Thunder Jazz is 221. Wizards Mavericks is 220. The Knicks Spurs you'd expect, 214. Timberwolves Nets, 229. Are you catching a pattern here?
Yeah.
Yet the Nuggets and Trailblazers are 217. Like they're an Eastern Conference plotting team. Take the under in the Denver game. And then tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, if you, you'll probably be 2-0, at the worst 1-1. And when I say that, it comes through 65% of the time, 100% of the time, okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. So, seriously, it comes through most of the time. You should be 1-1. Tomorrow night, you have a game, a football game on. Not the game in the NFL. That will be on Vegas Scores and Odds, ladies and gentlemen. Both the side and the total.
Great.
Houston's playing SMU. Houston's getting 13.5. They're 3-4 at home. SMU 7-0. Take Houston. So I have Houston, Denver under in the NBA, and Ottawa in hockey. Eldo, back to you.
Great stuff, Mike North.
Yeah, got it all. Got two tonight, folks, because we got games every night now. We had to rely on college football and pro football for the last few weeks. So I got better reads on these games. We're above 500. Gravy, baby, gravy.
Gravy. All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL because the Chicago Bears now are mired in a two-game losing streak, and there is a lot of criticism being thrown at Mitch Trubisky, at Matt Nagy, at Ryan Pace, at everybody over at Hallis Hall. And Matt Nagy on Wednesday afternoon addressed the media and he was asked about the confidence level and dealing with all the criticism being thrown this way. Let me see if I got the right one here. Hold on just a second. And he was asked about the expectations. So this is what he said.
It doesn't get tougher for us because we know how to handle things internally. First of all, you have to be able to accept the fact that we have a city that is completely ready to go the whole way and has really great expectations. And they want the same thing that we want. Once you understand that, then you can get to the next part. You know, like I said, expectations and intentions. So we know that. We want the same.
Shut it off. Jesus. What the hell is he talking about? What is going on? See, when look, and they're 3-3. For some reason, I thought they were 3-4 Monday. I don't know why I kept saying that like a goofball. They're 3-3.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. I just don't understand the nonsense. You know what? I'm going to give everybody this, too. Ever since Rokon Smith's personal problem, they haven't won.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm going to tell you something. How good has he been? Okay? Accountability? I have Accountability Tuesday for my picks. There's no accountability. Mm-hmm. And this. Don't tell me it doesn't have anything to do with anything. He hasn't played worth a damn since he got back.
Correct. And that was addressed at the press conference. And Nagy says he knows he hasn't been playing well. And so Nagy was asked, does it have anything to do with that personal issue? And he says, no, I don't think so. You'd have to ask him. But no one's going to ask him because he doesn't want to talk about it.
You imagine that? I mean, you don't think he's talked to him? I mean, see, you know what? He's very aloof right now. He's very aloof. He's in shock. He's been knocked off his pedestal a little bit. He's no longer an offensive genius. People know how to read him. His quarterback is in disarray. But there's a lot of problems on this team. I read a tweet. I had a tweet that I want to read to everybody. And I usually don't tell people, you have a great tweet. This was your tweet of the day or this and that. But there was a guy that tweeted out something today. And I had brought this up about Jordan Howard, that it was crazy that the guy was a Pro Bowler, which we seems like we got nothing for him. And I don't know where this guy's tweet is now, but it was an excellent tweet where he basically said, we gave away a 1,000-yard-a-year rusher, okay, who had the confidence of everybody else.
Right.
And we got nothing in return. That's another gripe. You just don't get, but maybe that was the running back position at that time. But it seems like the Bears just wanted to wipe their hands of it. You know what I mean, Eldo?
Right.
Where they said, you know what, we really aren't into the running game anymore or the power game or to guys breaking tackles. So you know what, we're going to move you. If that's how it seems. And this guy, I can't find where he's at. I'm sorry about that because he had a beautiful tweet today. And I thought it was really, really good.
Well, and you know, I think that the issue is just the lack of commitment to a run game. So on the very first play of the game, they run Tariq Cohen right up the middle. And the play is they've got somebody in motion. And the guy that tackles Tariq Cohen in the middle of the line, and you could argue why is Tariq going in the middle of the line? Like you've questioned that.
But I said that should never be called again, and he calls it again because you know
play,
what?
First play of the game.
For some reason, he thinks that Tariq Cohen at 5'6" can knock over 1,500-pound wall.
Right. And so the guy that tackles Tariq right in the middle is the guy that was following the receiver in motion. So
your
the scheme is not helping the run game. Why not stop with, and this Brian Baldinger, who posts great videos on his Twitter thing, he pointed this out. Why not just call old-fashioned run plays, get a fullback in there, have that fullback knock the crap out of the linebacker, and have David Montgomery or Mike Davis, your best two running backs on the team, get up there and collect some yards. But no, he calls a play like that, it doesn't work, and then he stops calling running plays. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to call a play, call one that's going to work to give you some confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's not what this guy's been doing. He seems to be in a little bit of a funk. Don't forget, and here's the other thing, the nonsense. And I heard Golic and Wingo talking about this, about Tom Brady coming to the Bears because of their great defense. Has anybody watched them the last 2 weeks? And I don't want to hear about that the offense isn't on the field. Wait, they've been gouged for 320 rushing yards. It's in the last two games.
Since Akeem Hicks has been gone, yes. That's played a role.
Okay, agreed. But it's up to them to get off the field.
Sure, you're right.
They're converting first downs. Don't blame the offense for that. And by the way, last year, like I said Monday, we had more time. Our time of possession last year, for instance,
right,
was 32, 33 minutes. That's not that way right now. It's 28.
It's awful. It's just
right.
Awful.
Don't try to react so quickly. Jesus. What happened? I thought you had a seizure. You all right? You're reading the chat board again.
No, I was queuing up my next soundbite.
All right, good.
That's okay. I also want to say this.
Yes.
That from a gambling standpoint, the Chargers, and I don't know who you've got for this game. I don't have
anybody yet, I'm afraid.
Well, when you do have somebody, if you go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com, you can find out there, buy the Mike North package. He'll let you know. But the Chargers have not been kind to bettors. In fact, first of all, they haven't won at Soldier Field since 1970.
They were kind to me this week, though.
Oh, good for you.
Because they didn't get in against Tennessee. That's right. Goal line.
That's right.
They're coming in with a little bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in with a little bit of an issue. They're a team that's down. The Bears should beat them. They should beat them.
They should.
I'll have a better read, later on, Friday or Saturday. But I don't think it's going to be one of my picks. I'll be honest with you. Because you don't know what to read of them. But first blush, I think the Bears should whip them.
All right. Well, the Chargers are 1-4-2 against the spread this season. And the Bears, over their last 24 home games, they're 17-6-1 against the spread. So that's got to be good news for people who are thinking about laying a few bucks on the Bears, right?
You would think so. You would think so. But if you've been laying money on them lately, you're getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, they didn't cover against the Saints on Sunday.
Or against the Raiders.
That's right.
So, I mean, the last 2 weeks, it doesn't matter about what happened before that.
Right.
Let's say you started betting 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're already done, unless you listen to us. I mean, I'm just telling you that there's people I know that are out of money already, that just go and think they can win games on their own. And the Bears, they've ruined people in Chicago their whole life. I mean, when I was younger, I bet irresponsibly as far as I didn't really chart like I do now.
Right.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And I mean, I bet the Bears a lot because they were my team. Right. That's what happens.
Wow. I there I go, looking for my next soundbite. I can't find it. Darn it. Well, doesn't matter. You don't like to hear Matt Nagy talk anyway.
Yes, I do. Find the damn soundbite.
Okay,
you've been screwing up the last 3 minutes on this stupid thing. Find it now.
This is Matt Nagy on the confidence hit that the confidence crisis that Mitch Trubisky is facing right now.
His confidence isn't at an all-time high. I mean, we're struggling right now, but he's not the only one that the confidence is in there. But how do you get that back, right? You get it back by practicing hard, by actually getting tighter. We need to get tighter and understand, and I think that's the message that we've...
I got to pick shorter sound bites from Matt Nagy. He bores
got some me. More? Do you have some more? Please play one more. Please play one. You got to get tighter. He sounds high school. He sounds like a high school coach.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't sound like he coaches professional football players. It's Matt Wani. It's finally happened. Wani's invaded his body. Matt Wani.
Matt Wani.
Man, people are screaming on the streets to see Matt Wani. And by the way, did you see what he said? Everybody's confidence is down. You think he's what? Here's a head coach admitting our confidence is zapped. I mean, my God, what are you doing? Too much talking could get you in trouble. Believe me, I know that.
Oh, jeez, that is so true. That is so true.
Unbelievable, well, man.
I want to get back to this topic about Tom Brady because I tweeted that out, too, after I saw the Golic and Wingo show, and I kind of started playing along.
It's a fun topic, but what the hell's the matter with my guys?
Yes.
I watch them every morning. They just took a hard left on that one. Are you kidding me?
It was the young Golic that brought it up first.
He's doing good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's gotten better. But my God, are you kidding me? What if that was a take that segment? Everybody does this. I do it too. It's a segment you wish you didn't do because it's so ridiculous. But it's a good topic.
But
Tom Brady coming to the Bears.
Let me make the
all
case.
The success you got.
Let me make the case. Okay. This was based on Adam Schefter's report that Brady has put his home up for sale and that he has speculated that Brady wants to win without Belichick and vice versa. Belichick wants to win with Brady because both of them know that if they win a Super Bowl without one another, it will help their reputation as being the greatest of all time.
Can I stop you? If they leave each other, they're never winning again. Okay? Are they out of their minds?
Joe Montana
went to the Kansas City Chiefs. Thank you. It didn't happen. Tom Brady's too smart for this. He's allowed to put his house up for sale. And by the way, those people also poo-pooed what Schefter said. That Adam's taken. It's a wild. Look, I like Adam Schefter. You know what? But this is more.
It's very good.
He's more into the reporting business,
right,
and really getting good scoops. But doesn't this seem like a reach for him?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I was blowing my nose because the snots are coming out. I've been laughing so much.
Hilarious. Doesn't it seem that this is a reach for Adam Schefter?
You know,
because he's usually got the trades right, everything else. But because a guy puts his house up for sale, he's a trillionaire. He could buy another house. You know, maybe they want to get out of a certain area. Maybe they want to move somewhere else. Maybe they want to move to a bigger place in New England. We don't know, right?
Right. And in fact, somebody said, yeah, well, he bought a house in New England, in the Connecticut area, so that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But let me play along here. Just give me 20 seconds. So,
no, I'm not. I hope it happens.
Brady's contract is up, and maybe he wants to just entertain some offers. What if the Bears offered the 42-year-old Tom Brady a Russell Wilson-type contract, making him the highest-paid quarterback per season on a 3-year deal? Do you do that deal at the risk of not being able to re-sign some players like perhaps Eddie Jackson, Danny Trevathan, Leonard Floyd?
Why would he leave New England?
I'm not talking about Brady. I'm talking about the Bears. Should they do
that? You want to know something? He'll never come here with that offensive line. There's no way. He won't last 6 games. He won't.
People in the chat room are telling me to shut up.
I'm telling you, you're out of your mind. This is worse than the 500 White Sox prediction. Are you out of your mind? Golic Jr., Trey, look, they do segments every day. But for you to fall into this trap, I don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Come on.
All right, so it's not going to happen. What about Philip Rivers? He's going to be – do you want him and his 13 kids to come to Chicago?
I just don't know where he gets the drive. I'm jealous.
I know. You know what? You think that Philip Rivers will ever be hired to do an endorsement for condoms? I don't think so.
No, but he'd be good at running like a kid's school or something.
Really?
My God. I mean, the guy's got, what, 7, 8, 9 kids? Good for him. He lays out the sausage.
Oh, Lordy.
Hey, how about my Joey Lombardo diet? It was hardly even covered, right?
Joey Lombardo died?
Joey the Clown to Lombardo died.
Oh, yes, he passed. How about that? A friend of yours or an acquaintance, I should say, perhaps.
Well, I mean, yeah, you would think you'd run into him. I mean, I'm just saying.
I never ran into him.
90 years old, you know.
Yeah.
Great, man. So he's gone. You know, you know what? That's when you know everything. He's gone. The Bears are losing. And all sorts of hell's breaking loose.
Yeah. One other game that I just wanted to touch on briefly because it's an NFC North game. There's two NFC. The Lions are playing the Giants. The Giants are at Detroit. The Lions are giving away 7 points. And then the game I wanted to just touch on briefly was the Chiefs and the Packers. What a shame that Patrick Mahomes is not going to play against Aaron Rodgers. That would have been fun. The game is at Kansas City. And the Packers are playing really good football. You cannot deny that. Aaron Rodgers is coming off a 6-touchdown game. Do you think that the Chiefs have a chance to win that game? The Packers are only giving away 3 points. What are your just general thoughts about that game?
I think that, you know, I haven't charted it yet, but first reaction is take the Packers.
Yeah.
You don't have Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
I mean, but that doesn't mean anything. The Packers could lose this game. They could go on the road and lose this game. They got a gift given to them 2 weeks ago. You know, Detroit gave them all they could handle. But, I mean, last week they looked really good. Is Rodgers going to have another big game? I mean, it would be easy to pluck down money without Mahomes. This is all I'm saying right now. Our first reaction helps. It would be easy to pluck down money right now on Green Bay minus the 3. It would be very easy without Mahomes, even if it's that. But who thought this was going to happen? It is a shame. It would have been a marquee game. But the main thing they got to do is get him healthy. But, you know, I don't care who. You know, I want to. Can I dispel this little thing about New England?
Sure.
That they don't play anybody? Because that's what I've been hearing since we did our show. Everybody's on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Hey, when they get to the playoffs, they play great teams, and they beat them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's the way it is. I mean, you can say whatever you want. They do have an easy schedule. I don't understand. Every year it seems like they get an easy schedule. But when they get into the playoffs, they play the toughest teams, and they beat them. So that's just the way it goes. And that's just and they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. So the crying about the nonsense and about the ridiculousness of the schedule, I get. But, boy, they show up to play every week.
They sure do. And you know what? The starters play a lot in the preseason, too, Mike. Isn't that something?
Boy, I'll tell you, I'm anxious to see what he does next year.
Oh,
about that whole situation. Because here's the thing I said. Forget about the Jordan Howards, the Trubisky's, the Rokon Smiths, the Khalil Max, the O'Donnells. This was a team loss. And Nagy thought they were so good, and he was so arrogant that he didn't practice. He didn't play hardly anybody in the preseason.
Yep.
I mean, really, think about this. And they've been behind the eight ball ever since. They got off to a good start. But you know what? Somebody said, David Kaplan said this. This 3-3 seems different than last year's 3-3.
Yeah. It totally is. I mean, there was a certain feeling next year that we could still kind of get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This year, the feeling is more, are we going to be a 500 team? it's bad. I don't like feeling this way. I want a Super Bowl to come to Chicago, Mike. Are we going to live to see it?
Yeah, if we host one. But we better buy a dome. It's not coming here. It's not coming here anytime soon. I got news for you. Anybody that thinks this team's going to the Super Bowl, you should check their medicine cabinet for opioids. My God.
Hey, before I let you go, I got a quick question for you. There's a gambling house that's got some odds. They have these fun prop bets, and I know you're not a big prop bet guy, but here's the line on here's the odds on the next head coach to be fined for criticizing officials. John Gruden leads at plus 400. Freddie Kitchens at plus 450. Cliff Kingsbury plus 500, Bruce Arians plus 600, Adam Gase plus 600, Bill O'Brien 900, Jason Garrett 900, Tomlin 1200, Matt Nagy finally at 1200. Don't you wish that Nagy was up there closer with John Gruden? Don't you wish that all of these penalties that NFL officials are missing when the Chicago Bears, when Khalil Mack is being held, when pass interference is unjustly called on.
I think Nagy will lose it one of these weeks.
Oh, I hope so.
I think Nagy will. I think this little pretty boy, nice guy, you know, walking around with the ascot like you're, you know, John Barrymore, walking around with a robe and a cigarette holder like you're John Barrymore as Tommy. You know, I mean, are you kidding me? As Nicky Santoro said in Casino. Boy, I forgot. Look at you. You're walking around in it, you know, like you're John Barrymore, robing a cigarette holder. He's got to lose his. He'll lose his mind if this keeps up. And if they get a bad call, that's going to help tilt the game against them.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. The next player to be fined for criticizing officials, I can go down the list. I don't see a Chicago Bear anywhere on the list. And I think that's part of the problem with the Bears' chemistry. They don't have a guy on the team that gets fiery. You know, you don't want anybody to
lose.
Wasn't
that supposed to be Khalil Mack?
Well, he's a quiet leader. Khalil Mack is not a talker. I mean, we've been petitioning him.
Khalil Mack's not enough in the last. Well, I give him this. He had 8 tackles this past.
Yeah, he did. He was.
But you know what? How effective were they? Yeah. Their tackles down the field. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to tell me 8 tackles, but they ran for 155 yards.
Right. Well, they had him in pass coverage a lot more than I think any other game this season. We'll have to chart that to be certain on that. But there's just some strange things happening with the Chicago Bears organization. But my point here being, I wish there was a player who just, you know, talked a little and let the officials know.
Well, that's Akeem Smith, usually.
He's
hurt.
Akeem Hicks.
Akeem Hicks.
Right.
He's the guy.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, he's the guy, and they're going to miss him big.
Yeah.
They're missing him, like you said. And you brought up a great point earlier. The linebackers aren't going to be as good now because you need those space eaters to take up those blocks.
Yeah. That is for sure. All right, we have had so much fun.
What a show!
I hate to pull the plug on it, but we've got more work to do, you and I. So.
Yes, sir. We got a lot of things to do. We're rolling here at Bears Power Room. Eldo, great shot as always. Don't forget, folks, to go to Vegas Scores and Odds, 1-866-504-2201. Free message on the message lines. I got games up tonight. I'll have games up tomorrow. I'm on fire right now. We got a lot of great cappers there. I got a hockey game, Ottawa, for us. Don't forget, folks, tonight we got two games, so I'll be looking forward to this. Ottawa, Denver under in basketball, and then tomorrow night, Houston. Eldo, great time by everybody. Thanks to Vegas Scores and Odds. Thanks to my guy, Eldo. So long, everybody!